Well, good morning. What a privilege it is for me to be up here to be able to have the opportunity to teach this morning with my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, Pastor Tim asked if I would ever be interested in giving a message, and I said, yes, absolutely. I love the chance to be able to dig in to the Word, to be able to take a topic and just mine the Bible for all it's worth. Proverbs urges us to seek wisdom like silver and gold. So being able to take time to do that, I just love it. But I don't take it lightly. Standing up here before you, I know that I have a responsibility to convey God's word accurately and to convey the truth to you. In James 3:1, it says, "Not many of you, my brothers, should become teachers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness." So that's not a self-righteous thing for me to say. It's a reminder that God's going to hold me accountable for what I teach you this morning. So what I want you to do is to remember to go back, dig into the Word, and as the Covenant Church says, ask me, where is it written? So this morning I want to give you guys a brief overview of heaven. This was kind of hard for me because it's such a vast topic and there's so many wonderful things that we could talk about. So I tried to condense it down into an overview of what is heaven. So I don't know everything. That might come as a surprise to some of you. I don't know everything. So what I'm trying to do is give you a biblical foundation for what I understand the Bible is telling us about heaven. So if you would take a minute with me, I'm just going to pray before the message. Lord, thank you this morning for everyone that's here. God, I just thank you that you came down to earth. You condescended yourself from eternity and came down to be with us. Thank you, Jesus, that you gave yourself as a sacrifice for us. And thank you, Lord, for our eternal home that we will be going to one day to spend eternity with you. We thank you, God. I pray that you would give me the words to speak this morning, that I would be able to convey your truth accurately and completely. Amen. So let me start out with this. What is your view of heaven? What do you think of when you hear heaven? Do you get excited? I'm excited. And by the end of this sermon, that's what I want you to be. I want you to be excited because it's a wonderful, wonderful place. But maybe you're not there. Maybe you are fearful. And maybe you fear death. And maybe that's why. Maybe for some of you, it's just kind of this vague idea. You hear about heaven and you're not really sure what it is or what it means or what it's going to look like. But you know it exists and you know that the Bible talks about it, but you're just not really sure exactly what it is. And maybe for some of you, it's boring. Maybe for some of you, you have, well, maybe like this guy. Maybe that's your idea. We're all just floating in the air, sitting on a cloud, playing a harp, singing songs for eternity. John Eldridge, a popular author, has this to say. He says, "Nearly every Christian I have spoken with has some idea that eternity is an unending church service. We have settled on the image of the never-ending sing-along in the sky, one great hymn after another, forever and ever, amen. And our heart sinks. Forever and ever, that's it? That's the good news? And then we sigh and feel guilty that we're not more spiritual. We lose heart, and we turn once more to the present to find what life we can." Maybe that's some of you today. I'm saddened by that because I think that is a common reality, that is our view of heaven. But the reality is that the Bible has so much more to say about heaven, and none of it is boring. Our view of heaven shapes us. What we think about heaven and how we think about it shapes our thinking and it shapes our actions. For one, it gives us a sense of urgency for the lost. The reason is, if we know that there's a final destination, if we know that there is eternity, what happens after we die? And if we know that, and we know the Bible talks about heaven and it also talks about hell, what do? It gives us a sense of urgency for the lost, that we want them to be with us, with Christ, forever. It also gives us an understanding of life after death. What does it look like? I think that's a part of the fear that death brings, is that we don't know what it's going to look like, where we're going to be or what we're going to do. But finally, the best thing that our view of heaven gives us is it gives us hope. During the Christmas season, that's a theme that we can look at, because Christ coming to be with us, that's just the first step in his ultimate plan of redemption. So knowing about heaven gives us hope. J.I. Packer says that hearts on earth, and I should stop before I say this, maybe you have felt like this before. Maybe this is, because I've heard a lot of people say this, I've said it myself. Hearts on earth may say in the course of a joyful experience, I don't want this to ever end. Have you ever felt like that? You've been doing something and you never want it to end. Wrestling with my boys on the ground, being outside with them, being with my wife, things like that, I never want them to end, and yet I know that they will. He goes on to say, but invariably it does. The hearts of those in heaven say, I want this to go on forever, and it will. There's no better news than this. Can you imagine that? Having that feeling of, I don't ever want this to end, this joy, this fun, this excitement, this love that I feel, I never want it to end. And guess what? When we're in heaven, it's not. You know, I think we've all felt that at some point that our world is not as it should be. There's this innate sense that something is wrong and that something is broken. We see things like war and famine. We see injustice. All these things that we know, they're just something not right. And yet, we still feel at home here because God created us to be on the earth. We're always searching for something to make us complete, aren't we? We're always looking for that thing to make us feel whole. And even as Christians that believe in Christ, he's come to live in our hearts, we still have that feeling that we're not quite complete yet. We're not quite there. And the reason is because sin entered the world, put a curse on the earth and all of creation. But we have a longing for wholeness, just as the Old Testament saints did. This is from Hebrews, and it's talking about those that were alive before Christ came. And it says, these all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar. So they're looking out on the horizon and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. So they even had that sense that I'm not where I should be. I feel like an alien. I feel like I'm an exile here. And yet I'm still here. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. So they are looking for that final home. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, and that is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. So there's our promise. God is preparing a city for us. He's preparing this eternal home for us. So that longing that we feel, it will finally be relinquished because we'll be there. Paul urges us to set our minds on things above. In Colossians, he says, if you then have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. So he's telling us, look beyond, look for eternity. Don't focus on here, on the here and now. Your actions have consequences. What you do here does have consequences, but look to eternity. And when we do that, it sets our perspective correctly. So what I would like for you to do with me for just the next few minutes I want you to use your imagination. I want you to think about what heaven will be like. Because the thing is, if we can envision it, we can't look forward to it, can we? If we can't envision where we're going to be and how wonderful it's going to be, we can't look forward to it. And so if it's unimaginable, why even try? But I have good news. It is imaginable. We can imagine what heaven is going to be like. So if you would, close your eyes or focus on what I'm going to read here. This, I think, is a picture of heaven and what it's going to be like. So imagine it all in its original condition. The happy dog with the wagging tail, not the snarling beast, beaten and starved. The flowers unwilted, the grass undying, the blue sky without pollution. People smiling and joyful, not angry, depressed, and empty. Think of the most beautiful place you've ever been to, complete with palm trees, raging rivers, jagged mountains, waterfalls, or snowdrifts. Think of friends or family members who love Jesus and are with him right now. Picture them with you, walking together in this place. All of you have powerful bodies, stronger than those of an Olympic decathlete. You are laughing, playing, talking, and reminiscing. You reach up to a tree to pick an apple or orange, and you take a bite. It's so sweet that it's startling. You've never tasted anything so good. Now you see someone coming toward you. It's Jesus, with a big smile on his face. You fall to your knees in worship. He pulls you up and embraces you. At last, you're with the person you were made for, in the place you were made to be. Everywhere you go, there will be new people and places to enjoy, new things to discover. Did you get a picture of heaven? You know, I have even my own ideas to add on to that. I love looking out at the stars. I love looking out at space and thinking, wow, God created this. There's no way this could have come into being by chance. And I think of eternity and I think of it as being a physical place. And God, since God created everything, he's going to renew everything. And we're going to have eternity to explore. And so something that gets me excited, this is not specifically in the Bible, but this is what I think of. I get excited about actually traveling in space. I mean, we've already gone to the moon, and we're looking for astronauts now to go to Mars, right? There are beautiful galaxies that we've never even seen. And I think God is going to give us eternity to be able to explore. Think of the most brilliant minds that are on earth right now. If they trust in Jesus and they're in heaven with us, we'll be able to collaborate with them. Think of the things that we'll be able to do. Those are the things that get me excited, but honestly, I was even thinking this morning. I thought, you know, since I've been preparing and thinking about what gets me excited about heaven, it's the idea that I'm going to be with Jesus forever. And it's the idea that I'm just going to be in his presence with him. And that really is what the definition of heaven is. It's the dwelling place of God and his people. This is a picture from Revelation 21. I think this is the most complete picture that we have. It says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning or crying or pain anymore, for the former things have passed away.'" Can you imagine that? That's what gets me ultimately excited. We're told specifically through John's revelation that the holy city is going to come down. God is going to come down and dwell with his people forever. Isn't that what we want? We want a holy king to come and be with us forever, to right things. No more crying, no more death, no more pain. All those things. When I think about this, I think of a time that was the best week of my life, and that was my honeymoon. And not for the most obvious reasons. It was a wonderful week. A wonderful week. And the reason is because I got to be with my wife for a whole week, just the two of us, and we could do whatever we wanted. We could go and float on the river. We could go swim in the ocean. We could go eat some food. We could just be. And that, to me, was the best week of my life because I was with the one that loved me unconditionally and I the same. And so in that relationship, there's no fear. There's no sense of inadequacy. You're just with the one that loves you. And that's what I think heaven is going to be like. That's how it's going to feel. And actually, it's appropriate that the marriage of a man and a woman is a picture of Christ and the church coming together. So we're talking about heaven. Revelation says it's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. So that might be a new concept for you guys. It was for me a while back when I started digging into heaven and what is it really like. The idea of it actually being physical. And the Bible tells us, yes, it is going to be a renewed earth. God created it originally, and now he's going to renew it. So what you see around you is a distorted view of what it's actually going to be like. But in the meantime, we don't have the new earth, right? I mean, I think all of you would agree, this is not the renewed earth yet. So then the question becomes, well, where are those that have come before us that trusted in Christ? Where are they now? So I would like to give you an idea of what... Can you back up one? Of what heaven is right now. Heaven right now, we can accurately say anyone that has passed is absent from the body, present with the Lord. And that's it. They are present with the Lord. What that looks like now... We can definitely use our imaginations. Some think we do have temporary physical bodies. Some think we don't. But we do know that we won't have our fully resurrected body until Christ comes and renews the earth and renews the heavens. And then we will have this resurrected body. Arnie was reading, I get excited about that, this idea of a body that's not going to wear down, that's not going to give me pain. We're gonna have that. But right now, where they are absent from the body, present with the Lord. Paul even says this. He says, we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. He has this struggle that he wants to be with Jesus right now, but he knows that he can't. He says, for me to live in is Christ and to die is gain. If I'm to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. I heard Jeff talking, I think it was last week or 2 weeks ago, they were having coffee and he had made the comment that he prays for the rapture every day, for Jesus to come back because he's tired of work. And I just laughed and he goes, I'm serious, I do. And I thought, you know what? That's right. We do. I think we all feel like that. We're tired of work because we just want to feel refreshed. We want to be who we were made to be fully. And so, yes, we should be praying for Christ's return. And he says, yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I'm hard-pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. So he's even saying he would be away from his body, present with the Lord. But he says, to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. So he knew he still had work to do that God had given him. So this idea of a temporary heaven is a stop along the way to our final destination, which is the new earth. You can kind of think of it this way. So imagine that you're homeless right now. And imagine that you just inherited a beautiful mansion down in the Florida Keys. And with that mansion is a job that you've always wanted. And it's a job that you don't think, oh, I have to go to work now. I have to sit through 8 hours. And it's a job that you get excited about that you could do all day, every day. And not only that, but family members are going to be there with you, and you're going to be surrounded in relationship like that. So in order to get down there from Wheaton, we will usually go to Fargo, right? So we'll go to Fargo, and we usually stop in Chicago. If we're going on the east side, we'll stop in Chicago, go down to the Keys. So when we get to the, and when we stop in Chicago, we're going to have family that lives in Chicago, that used to live here. They're going to live there. They're going to meet us at the airport, and then they're going to come with us to the Keys. So when you go to the ticket counter in Fargo and the lady asks you, so where are you headed? Are you going to say Chicago, or are you going to say the Keys? Obviously, we're going to talk about going to the Florida Keys, going to our final destination. So this idea that we're not quite there yet, even as we pass, we can still look forward to the new earth and where we're going to spend eternity. As those of us that have passed right now, as with us, we're awaiting the time of Christ's return to the earth to get our new bodies, a bodily resurrection, the final judgment that Jesus is going to come and finally judge, and the creation of the new heavens and the new earth. So that is what is being waited for right now. When that happens, we will be in eternal heaven, which again is being with the Lord. That's heaven. That's God dwelling with his people. So what will it be like? Well, we had a taste, as I read, it's going to be a physical place. God created us as physical beings. There's never been a time on the earth that a human being has never been physical, because Adam was created in the flesh first, and then God breathed life, breathed the spirit into him. And so we've always, as humans, been this spirit and physical person, always. And God is going to restore that. We're going to be that. That's why Paul talks about the resurrection of the body. And again, imagine all things that are going to be renewed to originally how God had created them. So what will we do when we're there? Well, we're going to worship him. Now, for some of you, that might sound like, oh, you just said that we're not going to sit up there and just sing and, you know, just, you know, do all that for eternity, right? Well, that's if you just think of worship as singing songs, and that's it. Worship, Romans says that, I appeal to you, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. So what he's saying is that your bodies, present yourself, your whole self, as an act of worship to God. So it's not just singing songs, it's not just preaching, but it's living out who God created you to be. God gave you passions, he gave you skills, he gave you gifts, and he enjoys seeing you use them and work those out. If you love to garden with passion, do it. That's worship to God. If you are great at caring for other people, that's worshiping God. Serving, if you create things, if you draw, if you build, do that. If you teach, teach. So who was there? We talk about heaven. Who is there right now? Who is going to be there? God's people. It's those that have trusted in Jesus for their salvation. This was pictured beautifully with the youth up here. What do you have to do? Well, I trust in Christ. That's what I do. And before Christ came, I remember wrestling with this question in college. So before Jesus came, there was no Messiah, right? So if he didn't die, then how did those that died, where are they now if they had nobody to trust in? Well, actually, they did. God gave them a promise that a Messiah is going to come. And God credited it to them as righteousness, those that had their faith that that was going to come, and that's where they were going to be. So not only those that have trusted in Jesus now, but the Old Testament saints who trusted in God's promise of this coming Messiah, which we celebrate now that he did come. So talking about resurrection bodies, I just want to give a couple references back to Scripture. Paul talks about it being like a tent, that it's our earthly home. When it's destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan. Right now we can all identify with that. And we're longing to put on our heavenly dwelling. He goes on to say in Philippians that our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is important because this tells us who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body. So we can know whatever Jesus' body was like, that's what ours is going to be like. And the power, by the power that enables him to even subject all things to him. So what was his body like? Well, in Luke, when after he died and rose again, he came back and visited the disciples. And he says, "See my hands and my feet, that it is myself. Touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." So he's telling us, I'm not just a spirit. I am flesh and bone. Come and touch me. Come and see. And not only that, he showed them his hands and feet, and then he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it before them. That's physical. I mean, he took a physical piece of fish, put it in his physical body, and ate it. A spirit doesn't do that. There's also reference of Jesus being outside of the door and then coming into the room without the door ever opening. So this idea that he's still physical, yet he was able to pass through physical things. So even things like that that are really hard to imagine, the Bible gives us a picture of what these bodies will be like. During Advent and during Christmas, we think about those that looked forward to a coming Messiah, the birth of a Messiah, and what that meant. So now again, we look forward to Jesus returning again. He tells us that he's going to come back again. And he tells us, concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. Jesus doesn't even know when he's going to come back. He's waiting for the Father to direct that. So if you ever hear anyone say, well, Jesus is coming back next year and, you know, September 2nd, you can say, you don't know that, because Jesus actually said himself he doesn't even know when he's going to come back. But we await his return with anticipation, just like the Old Testament saints awaited for his birth. So all of this then begs the question, how do we get there? How do we get to be with Jesus forever and ever? The sobering news is that our default destination is not heaven. In Revelation, it says that if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Jesus says to those that have not put their trust in him, he says, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." There's definitely a hell, and there's definitely a heaven. The good news, though, is that we can know that we can be in heaven, that we can be there with him. The Bible tells us that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and that the wages of sin is death. If we stay in our sin, we won't have eternal life. But it goes on to say that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. It's really that simple. We trust him, put our faith in him, and he saves us. You know, when that day comes when we stand before God and God asks us the question, why should you be here with me? Why should you be in eternity with me? What have you done that's so great, that's better than me, that you can be here with me in eternity? And what I'm going to say is nothing. Jesus did. And because I'm trusting in him to be my salvation, and that's what you see, I'll get to be with you forever because of Jesus. And this all is why he came. We talk about his birth and his death and his resurrection. This is why he came, was to save us. It says that he came that we might have life and have it abundantly. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are preparing a place for us, and that one day you will renew this earth so that we can live with you forever. And Lord, for those that have not put their trust in you, Lord, I just pray right now that they can, in the quietness of their hearts, tell you, Lord, I recognize that I'm a sinner. I recognize that I will never meet your holy standard. But I trust you. I trust in your sacrifice. And I trust that you will save me. And that one day you're going to come back. So Lord, I just pray for those that have trusted in you, that you will continue to give us anticipation for your return. Give us that urgency. Never let us lose it for those that are lost. We thank you for your love. We thank you that you came for us and died for us. In your name we pray. Amen. I'm going to play a song. Actually, Cassidy is going to play a song. What I'd like for you is just to take a few moments as the song is playing and just to think about what heaven will be like. Try and imagine.